Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on 8DNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to make big changes in your life? I mean, really, really big changes. Would you like to learn more about how to turn your life around? Tell me, have you ever wanted to know about how to go from drastic to fantastic? Can you imagine losing your husband and then starting over and carrying on? Well, you know, I can't imagine that. I lost my first husband 47 years ago, so I really know what it's like to start over and carry on. Tell me, do you know what it would be like to lose 100 pounds? Yes, you heard me right. 100 pounds. And then to do it twice, yes, we're talking about two times. That would be 200 pounds, approximately. When was the last time you heard about a book called Sometimes You Have to Take Drastic Steps to Turn Your Life Around? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful inspiration and informative lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.6 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. My guest is affectionately known as the Turnaround Queen. She is a passionate, dynamic, and energetic speaker who encourages her audiences to take drastic steps outside of their comfort zone to clear the clutter and achieve the amazing life that they deserve. Personally, she has fought and won the weight loss battle. In fact, she actually weighed over 240 pounds twice. However, she took some drastic steps to lose the weight, and she's kept it off for over 9 years. With only a high school diploma, she excelled as a financial advisor to become a six-figure income earner in the worst economic times. Most recently, she lost her husband to cancer after a long battle where she gave up her career to care for him. She is now taking her own drastic steps forward to reinvent herself and reclaim her life. My guest has won several awards, including the Spirit of Leadership Award from Powerful Women International and the People's Choice Award from the TCR Network. She recently released a book called Sometimes You Have to Take a Drastic Step to Turn Your Life Around, with stories of how people took drastic steps and transcended obstacles to turn their lives around. My guest is a member of Powerful Women International, CEO Space International, and recently earned her BS in Business Management with a concentration in Small Business from the University of Phoenix, where she was the commencement speaker in front of 10,000 people. She is currently working on her master's in adult education and training. I'm pleased to welcome to our show Toni Harris. Hi, Toni. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. That was a powerful introduction. I hope I get a recording of that.
you certainly will, dear. I will send it to you tomorrow. It's fantastic.
January. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm so pleased to have you on the show. I've been so looking forward to it. And I want to talk with you about your early years when you were growing up. Tell us a little bit about how Toni Harris's success story began. Where were you born? Who were your early mentors? And what happened to you as a child?
Well, you know, my story is not one that was unique. I was born in the 60s and really raised in the 70s, and I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and so I lived in Warrensville Heights. If anybody is listening from that area of the world, I love Cleveland, and I tell you, my life has taken one drastic turn after another being raised in Cleveland. Well, I was raised in the 70s when, unfortunately, it was popular for men to beat their wives.
Oh, dear.
So I experienced living in a home under domestic violence, and that actually, more than you know, helped me to be the woman I am today, because I definitely knew what I did not want. Mm-hmm. And so unlike a lot of people where they go towards that pattern, I knew exactly what that pattern looked like, and I was like, I'm not going down that direction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my young years really was traumatic, but fortunately the domestic violence stopped and our family became somewhat stable, and we moved. My mother is my biggest champion and my role model, and my, you know, I just look up to her so much because she's overcome so much. And, in fact, her story is in my book, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, I decided that I was going to do some things different than what I had seen going on, you know, in my environment. And so I decided to, at an early age, I was not going to be the same. And so while my role model is my mom, she really is the one. She overcame so many obstacles. And she taught me so much about how to be a strong woman. And so, but that's a little bit about my childhood and my background. And then when I was 16, my mom came home one day and said, what do you think about us moving?
Okay,
you don't ask a 16-year-old, what do you think
about
us moving? Right? And no, she wasn't just talking about down the street. She was talking about across the country. We moved to Houston, Texas when I was 16. So, Jane, explain what happened.
Wow.
I was going to a predominantly black suburban school, and it was really cool, and it was really fun, and the boys had just started to notice me because I grew up an ugly duckling, and I really was starting to feel good about who I was and have some self-esteem and all that stuff. And then my mom said, nope, we're going to move. So she moved, and she said, of course, as a good mom would, she says, I want the best school district for my children. Mm-hmm. So when we moved to Houston, she moved us to A-Leaf, Texas. At the time, I'm just being frank with you because this actually has molded who I am, but she moved us to an all-white suburb.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
You talk about a culture shock. I was like, oh my gosh, there are no boys here that look like me. They don't want to be, they're not interested in me. I promise you, there's about 2,000 kids in the school, and about 25 were African American. That was huge culture shock for me. I was miserable. I cried every day. I wanted to go back to Cleveland. She bought me a ticket for summer vacation on the first thing smoking. And I spent the whole summer in Ohio. It was the best summer of my life. I fell in love for the first time, yada, yada. But when I got back to Houston, I realized I had to make it happen. There was no turning back. And I decided to call Houston home. And to this day, those girls that were in my school, you know, I learned to adapt to other cultures. And those girls are my sisters to this day. Thank God my mother had enough sense to take me out of my comfort zone and put me in a space where I was not comfortable and said, you got to make it happen. And from that day forward, truthfully, that is probably the mantra that I have lived under.
Wow, that is such a powerful story. Now, when you got to Houston, there were 2,000 students, and 25 approximately were black. Did you cling to each other, or how did you get involved in the student body?
No, they had their own cliques. It was amazing. They didn't want nothing to do with me.
You're kidding.
I tell you, one girl did adopt me as her friend, and to this day, 30 years later, I can't believe I'm saying that, she and I are still very, very, very good friends. But for the most part, I had to learn how to adjust, and I ended up befriending non-black people, which opened up my world tremendously, and that's my success in business today. Had that not happened, I would still probably be adjusting to other cultures.
So tell me, how did you go about befriending non-black people? How did you reach out to them? How did you have friends?
How did you do it? Truthfully, they kind of were reaching out to me, and I just wasn't paying attention because I was miserable. So sometimes we get stuck whining. Stuck whining that we can't see the good that's going on around us. And when I shut up whining and started, they're actually trying to be nice to me. I should probably try to get to know them better. And when I opened up my heart and stopped worrying about me, I decided that, you know, these folks are pretty good, and I still have friendships from them to this day. So it was all about my attitude and the adjustments I needed to make. And my mom loves to tell the story today. She's like, oh, my gosh, that girl was pitiful. I thought I was going to kill her.
Well, your story is fantastic, and it's a great story for people who talk about conflict between the races and integration and all the problems that are out there. And to have you tell a story about going to Houston, Texas, which I would suppose would be a very a discriminating area, is amazing. I think your story is fantastic. I'm so glad you've chosen to share it with us.
Not a story I normally share, so thank you for asking.
It was
a turning point in my life, and I am to this day grateful for it. Although while I was living it, I thought, oh my God, I
Well, what you're basically saying is that no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what area of the country or the world, you have to open yourself up to other people, and they will reach out to you. Isn't that
absolutely
what you're saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Stop complaining and just be still for a minute, and it's amazing. If you just be still and open your ears and your eyes, what you can see and what you can hear, and things come your way. So if you're a good person and you give out good vibes, you know, you will get that back. And so, yes, absolutely, I agree with you.
Oh, that's a fantastic, powerful story. We're going to take a break and hear about your host. And when we come back with Toni Harris, I want to talk to her a little more about what it was like growing up in Houston, what she did when it came time for college, and a little bit more about the rest of her life. We'll be right back with Toni Harris. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have priceless personalities? I've been fortunate to host a talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it's been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. In my new ebook, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, and even polygamy. Then there are my guests dealing with physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects. All of my guests have been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. I look forward to sharing them with you in my new ebook, Priceless Personalities: Success Stories Shared by January Jones. The introductory offer of $4.99 is now available at Amazon.com. Order it today. Welcome back with my wonderful guest, Toni Harris, and she is sharing with us her success story that she left Cleveland, Ohio when she was 16, was transplanted to Houston, Texas, went to a high school with 2,000 white students and approximately 25 black students, and she had the time of her life and made many friends and had a wonderful beginning, I should say a wonderful ending to your high school career. What did you do about college, Toni?
Well, although the abuse had stopped in my family, my stepdad was still very difficult to live with. And so I wanted out. Unlike kids today, who will say no matter what, I wanted out. So I, in high school, I actually was part of the vocational office education program, where I actually got my start with my speaking. And so, that was a whole nother door that was open. But anyway, I decided I needed to work. And in high school, I started working at Hewlett-Packard. I had a real job. And when I had a taste of money, and I wanted out of my parents' home. So I started working immediately out of high school. My mom did not have the money to send me to school. And I didn't really want to go. And so I started working. And from that point, I was customer service, secretarial. I ended up at 22 working at Exxon as a legal secretary, where I thought I was going to, and I thought I had really done something well because all the women there, you know, had been there 30 years. So I hadn't thought I was going to be there 30 years as a secretary. And I had made up my mind that's what I was going to do. And so college was not for me. So I put it on the back burner, way on the back burner, to go to work.
And then once you started working, you were on your own. How long before you got married and started a family?
Well, I got married at 22. And I was pregnant. So some of my mistakes, you know, and I know we're going to talk about regrets and mistakes, but I got pregnant and I married a man who really loved me for me. And we started our life together. And my son was born when I was 23. Daughter at 26. So I have two children now that are 24 and 21. For those of you doing the math out there, you can call in and tell me how old I am.
I won't do that. Not for me.
But it was, you know, it was just like any typical young family, lots of struggles and stuff. And so, but I decided that I was going to make the best of whatever situation I had. And so, I did the right thing, got married, had a great husband who loved me, and really we started to grow together. And so, you know, we started out kind of in a just a typical situation where people are struggling, but we made it happen, and we just kept growing and kept going together. And so, you know, but life happens and things change,
yeah.
And so we'll talk about some of that as well. But, yeah, so when I was 23, my mother said to me, she
uh-huh.
had started her own business. And
uh-huh.
she said to me, I need another trainer. Quit your Exxon job where you're going to be 30 years and come work for me.
Okay.
I was like, I have a newborn. I am not getting ready to quit my job. I need my benefits. She said,
uh-huh.
she said, Tony, trust me. She said, what is the worst thing that can happen? And to this day, anytime I'm getting ready to make a drastic step, that's the
uh-huh.
measuring line. What is the worst thing that can happen?
Wow.
And she said to me, the worst thing that can happen is it doesn't work out. You have to go back to Exxon. Leave them in the right way. They'll hire you back. Quit
uh-huh.
your job
yeah.
and come work for me. Now, you know, most of the time our parents are telling us to get a good government job
yeah.
and stay on that job for 30 years and get your pension.
Right.
My mother was totally different. She said, you need to be an entrepreneur. You need
uh-huh.
to come work for me. Let's do this thing. And I did.
Wow.
Wow.
And your mom was outside the box. Isn't that an amazing thing? Because you very seldom hear about that. Most
really?
Parents want you to play it safe, do nothing, you know, outside the box. And here your mom was inviting you to do that.
Right.
And so you went with your mom, and it worked out quite well, I take it.
It did. It did. It worked out very well. For 9 years, I was a computer trainer training the
uh-huh.
Software industry from DOS. Do you remember DOS? Over
yes,
to Windows.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, DOS. I do remember that.
Over to Excel, from WordPerfect uh-huh. over to Word. So I was traveling around speaking at corporations as a 23-year-old kid, speaking at
uh-huh.
oil and gas companies, training them on how to use these computer programs. Boy, did that grow my confidence in
yeah.
being in
yeah.
front of people. And I had never had any formal training as a speaker. But
now, as far as the technical training, how did you pick that up? Did you go to school or did your mom?
Here's the workbook. Nope. She said, here's the workbook. Go through this,
uh-huh.
and this is what you're going to teach.
I love it.
You, I never had a class on any of the programs or anything. She said, here's the workbook. Go through the intro, the intermediate, and the advanced. And then you will be ready to teach. And I did it. I would just go through the workbooks. And then she put me out there. I remember when she taught me how to drive a stick, she did me that way, too. She gave me one day lesson, and the next day she would take me to work and pick me back up and let me go. My
wow.
mom is definitely the bird that kicks you out of the nest and says,
yeah.
go flap your
now,
wings. You'll be all right. She always says that. You'll be all right. And so that's how I learned the software.
Uh-huh.
And so
now, is your mom still alive?
Uh-huh, very much so. In fact, she's in the other room probably eavesdropping on this conversation. And she's still an entrepreneur, and she's still doing her training company.
Wow, what a wonderful story. I'm going to have her on the show. You know, most people, when they talk about making change, most people, and I'm one of them, I talk about taking baby steps and being careful and cautious. And you have a whole other approach to it. Now, obviously, I can see why, because of your mother's influence. And you say that people should take drastic steps instead of baby steps. Talk about that.
Okay, thank you for asking. And I do get challenged on that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, you're telling people to take drastic steps, and they can't even take a baby step. Well, here's the deal. Sometimes a baby step is a drastic step. So when I was going through my weight loss journey, which you mentioned,
uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
the rule is you drink at least 80 ounces of water a day.
Uh-huh.
For me, that's drastic. For somebody else,
yeah.
that's a baby step. So, but to get that water down every single day for 8 months was drastic for me. But it was a step I needed to take in order to achieve that goal. So whether you're taking a baby step or a drastic step, and you view it however you want to view it, as long as you're moving, January, that's the key.
Uh-huh.
Moving. Now, I will tell, and when I'm on stage, I often demonstrate the difference between a baby step and a drastic step. With
yeah.
a baby step, you can quit at any time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, as I say in my talk, you have to hike up your skirt, kick up your heels, and take a drastic step, and you cannot stop till you put your foot down, your literal and your figurative foot down on the other side.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to get past some of the fears. You have to, you know, and I don't say do it willy-nilly. Do your research. Do your homework. But sometimes you have to bite the bullet and say, I'm going to quit this job and start my business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've got to make a sacrifice and get going. Otherwise, I'm going to play it safe all along, and I, and you can probably agree or disagree, but I would venture to say Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, and all them other folks have not played it safe. And they made mistakes. And they didn't, some of them, they took huge drastic steps. And so in my life, that has worked for me. I do it calculated. So don't get me wrong. I don't quit my job on a whim. I'm just going in one day and I'm quitting my job. No, you do your research. You talk to the mentors. You talk to the people who've been there and done that. You do your homework. But at some point, you're going to have to bite the bullet and say, I'm doing it.
Okay. Now, let's back up, Tony, and let's talk again about the 100-pound weight loss twice. What else did you do besides drink 80 ounces of water?
You know, while I was doing my training, I started training for a financial firm, and they sent me out and fed me well. And before I knew it, and truthfully, I just really didn't get it, I had gained 100 pounds, and I weighed 240 pounds. I got a picture in the mail from one of those training trips, and it was like, oh, my God, I cannot believe that is me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so as I walk in the house with this picture, a commercial is playing on the radio, a weight loss center, and they're saying, you know, come to this center. And I heard that commercial 100,000 times, but something that day said, pick up the phone. I was like, well, I don't have no money. I ain't picking up the phone. And something said, pick up the phone. I picked up the phone. And so you have to know me, too. I'm a woman of action. So when I say go, it's a go. So I picked up the phone. I was in their clinic about 4 o'clock that afternoon. The very next morning, I started their program and did not quit until I lost 100 pounds.
Wow. And how long did that take?
It took about 7 to 8 months.
7 to 8 months. That's reasonable.
In the middle, my husband, who had high blood pressure and diabetes, he said, I'm going to join you. And together, we lost over 150 pounds.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic.
He came off of all his medication. And then, to top it off, Ebony Magazine did an article on us.
Oh, wow.
So we were in Ebony Magazine, February 1999. You can go to their website, look at their archives, and you'll find our story.
It was amazing,
January. It was the best time of our life. The article came out during our 10th anniversary. And then life happened.
And so
I took another.
You know,
go ahead.
We're going to take a break and hear a commercial. And when we come back with Tony Harris, we're going to talk about how life happens after everything seems so wonderful. Things can change, as we all know. We'll be right back with Tony Harris.
Could your commute or daily exercise routine use a boost? When was the last time you really got the giggles? This is Adele Park, author of Yikes, another quirky audiobook, inviting you to tune in, turn on, and let loose a few good laughs. Yikes, another quirky audiobook is about a marijuana enthusiast named Blue McKenna who gets involved in a reality TV show as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. A conglomerate of kooky contestants invades the polygamous community of Naval, Utah to compete in a reality show called Yikes. Things get sticky when Blue McKenna's hemp garden is ignited during an ill-fated seance. Find out what's going down in the desert in Yikes, another quirky audiobook. Visit www.yikesaudiobook.com to learn more. That's www.yikesaudiobook.com.
You know, if you're taking a trip this summer, I highly recommend Yikes or Jitters, both of Adele's audiobooks. They're wonderful to listen to in the car. I'm interviewing Toni Harris, and she's sharing with us her success story. Now, Toni, you shared with us that you lost all the weight, and your husband joined you, and things were going along just wonderfully. And then, is that when your husband got so sick?
Well, what happened was I moved from Houston. I took another drastic step, moved from Houston to Port St. Lucie, Florida, your neck of the woods. And I started working in West Palm Beach. I was enticed by that financial company to become a financial advisor. Well, they said, well, you will do so well. You know, you'll make six figures within 3 years. And I was like, oh, well, talk to me. What do I need to do for a high school diploma? You know, a girl with a high school diploma. I thought, you know, that sounds pretty good. So we took a drastic step, moved the family, and went to West Palm Beach in Port St. I lived in Port St. Lucie, but I worked in West Palm Beach. Okay. So everything that I was promised when I was recruited January did not exist. So what happened was they told me I'd have this lucrative territory. Nope, didn't have it. So they started giving me scratch territory. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Territory nobody else wants, right?
It's right.
It's not lucrative, and it's the one you've got to hustle to do. And I was so disappointed with that setback, but I had to figure out, you know, am I going to whine about it or am I going to dig in and get it done? And Lord knows I wanted to whine about it, but I had moved my family halfway across the country. There was no way that whining was going to solve anything. So they gave me a territory between, and you can relate to this, St. Lucie, Indian River, St. Lucie, Okeechobee, Broward, and Palm Beach County. That was my territory.
Wow.
I drove 36,000 miles my first year as a financial advisor trying to make it happen. And January, this was in June of 2000, when the stock market was horrible. Then September 11th came. Then Enron came. For the first 3 years, I was a financial advisor. Every dollar that I invested, people lost money.
Oh, how awful.
So because I was driving so much, working from sun up to sundown, where was I eating? And stressed, where was I eating? In my car.
Yeah.
So I gained all my weight back. So can you imagine being in Ebony magazine? The whole world sees your success.
And yeah, and then
being successful, there are people in the background says she ain't gonna keep that weight off. She thinks she all that because she lost weight, and she's gonna gain that weight back. And I did. I was miserable. So while I'm trying to make my career happen, I on the inside am dying because I have gained all this weight back. And so it was devastating. Well, of course I did. So my husband did too, and he ended up going on even more medication. And so if he had high blood pressure and diabetes, I didn't have the illnesses, so I was blessed there. So long story short, after doing much research and really figuring out what I was going to do to get this weight off, because it really did bother me, I took a drastic step and had gastric bypass.
Wow, that is a drastic step.
Yep. And
how did that go?
It was wonderful. It's been 9 years. I've kept the weight off. I've had no problems whatsoever, but I followed the rules, too. So, you know, there are a lot of people who have the surgery and then try to eat the bad stuff on the surgery table. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've seen that with my own eyes. But I did what I was told to do, and the weight fell off, and I've kept it off. I think I've gained 10 pounds in the last 3 years.
Okay.
So
That's reasonable.
Yeah, I am very, very happy with that success. And unfortunately, my husband did not want to do anything different. And his medications became more and more, and it ended up that, and there were a lot of other circumstances, but our marriage ended after 18 years.
Oh, okay.
Devastating. And then 8 months later, he passed away because of high blood pressure and diabetes. Now, that was my first husband. We even got to the second one yet. So, you know, so I tell my audiences all the time, you have to consider, you know, people ask me all the time, were you fearful to have gastric bypass? Heck yeah. Anytime you put yourself under the knife, you're going to be afraid, but I was more afraid of what would happen if I didn't do something.
Okay.
And when we're making decisions, we have to be more afraid of the consequences than of the solution or the work.
So after you had, Tony, after you had the gastric bypass, is that when you started to write your wonderful book, Sometimes You Have to Take a Drastic Step?
Well, the book just came out a year ago, so no, it's been some time after that because I've taken more drastic steps over time. I'm back in Houston now, and that's a whole other story we don't have time to get into. But anyway, I started writing the book a year ago, and the book, which is so funny, let me tell the drastic step story around the book. I decided I needed help writing a book, so I hired a ghostwriter in January 2012. And she and I did the interviewing. We did the writing. By May 2012, she was supposed to get me a manuscript. Well, to this day, January, I have not heard from that ghostwriter. She disappeared off the face of the earth. I still see her on Facebook. She's still alive, but she to this day has not called me with my manuscript. Well, I had a huge speaking engagement that we were preparing the book for, and it was at the end of June. So now I'm at the end of May trying to figure out how I'm going to get a book.
No book.
In 1 month, right? So I call my another ghostwriter and say, can we get a book done in about 20 days? And she said,
Yeah, that's crazy.
I explained the situation. She said, let's go. I love when I meet other drastic steppers. When I get to, when two of us are gathered together, you better move out the way. And my ghostwriter and I got to work. We produced my book in 22 days.
Wow.
You know, there are people who have books in them that haven't started writing yet, and they refuse to start writing. You know what? It's all about making your mind up and getting to work. And so we had a book in 22 days. It's so profound and ironic that the book is called Sometimes You Have to Take a Drastic Step, and the book itself was a drastic step.
Well, Tony, I adore the fact that you're sharing this with me, because so many of my listeners are people who have a book within them. They're thinking about it. They're, you know, kind of on the fence. As you and I both know, it's very difficult to write a book. And what you're saying, and I love your message, is basically sit down and write the book.
Get it done. Now, here, I'm going to give those people a few tips. One of the things I did with the book is I got some help. So I got a ghostwriter. Okay, so I didn't do it by myself. Don't go it alone. Don't think you have to write every single word. My ghostwriter came to me and she said, you know, Tony, your story is compelling, but I don't have enough time to, we don't have enough time to make it bigger. Get some other people to tell their drastic step stories. So I went to my network and said, I admire you. I know what you've been through. Tell me your story. Tell me your story. So I interviewed 17 people and converted their interviews to stories in the book. And now I have an audio book that has their interviews, plus I have the book itself. Brilliant!
Well, you know, Tony, you and I are on the same page, because my book, Priceless Personalities, came out July 4th on Amazon as a Kindle book. And in that book, I did exactly what you've done. I took 10 people who have done interviews just like this on my show. We had the interviews transcribed and edited, and those became the basic the basics of Priceless Personalities, success stories shared by January Jones. So we both have a fantastic formula. And anyone out there listening, I can tell you that it can be done. We have done it. And if you're thinking about it, do it right now.
That's right. That's exactly right. Stop thinking and get to doing. And there, that's not a shortcut to getting the book done. It's smart.
Yes, yes.
So plus you glorify and edify other people in the process. And here's the other thing. Here's what I've learned, too, about writing a book. Just because you wrote it don't mean anybody will buy it. But if you put 17 other people in the book, they're going to help you sell.
Yeah. That'll help with your marketing.
That's
We're going to take a break right now and have a commercial, and then we'll be back with Tony Harris. We're going to talk about some of what success means to her, if she has any regrets, and the advice she has for our listeners. We'll be right back with Tony Harris.
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage, any marriage, read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Brubach. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, our kids drove us apart. We separated five times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage. Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
I highly recommend Pat's book. I'm in a second marriage, and we will be celebrating our 43rd anniversary this year. So I'm a big fan of second marriages. Welcome back with my guest, Tony Harris. Tony, could you talk a little bit about what social media has meant to your career, Twitter and Facebook?
Oh, it's meant everything. It has grown. I'm also a radio show host, and it's grown my network globally. I have connected with people all over the world as a result of the radio show as well as social media and being able to dig deeper on those relationships. The videos I'm able to share showing my speaking has gotten me booked because of social media. And so YouTube is, I'm a huge fan of YouTube and having videos out there. And you can see some of my stuff at youtube.com/ Tony Harris Speak. Tony's with an I. So, made all the difference in my business.
You know, could you give your website information and share with my listeners how they can get your book?
Yes. On my website, tony-harris.com, you can join my mailing list. You can click to order the book, and I will send it out, sign it, and send it directly to you. You can get it on Amazon, but you can also, if you get it from me, I can get it to you directly with a signature. So either way, whatever makes you comfortable. But please join my mailing list to stay connected to me as well, and that's at tony-harris.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. And your books are at Amazon. .com.
Yep, and you can get the Kindle version.
Okay, wonderful. I'm addicted to my Kindle, so I need to know that. You know, Tony, you juggle so much. What advice do you have for women who are struggling to find a balance between their career and their family? It's so difficult. What can you tell them?
Oh, it is difficult, but the number one thing is you got to write things down. I think if I don't write things down, it's not going to get done. I have to prioritize. I have to tell my family what my boundaries are and not feel guilty about that. You know, a lot of women feel guilty about setting boundaries and telling their kids no, but the kids have to learn that, you know, they can't have every second of mommy's time because mommy ultimately has to do for herself as well. You know, I love my kids to death, and I love moms, great moms. But the truth is, mm-hmm. those kids are grown and off doing their own thing. My daughter lives right there where you are in West Palm Beach. And if I put my life on hold for my children, and then when they're out, then what? I've got nothing to fall back on. And so I would tell, I tell my women to prioritize. I tell them to write things down and then set boundaries for their family.
Right. Also share with us a little bit about your husband's battle with colon cancer. What a difficult time that was.
That was difficult. And you asked about my regrets and you asked about my the second marriage book, that's interesting because I did get a divorce after 18 years. And then, as I said, my first husband passed away. And while I didn't, that was not my fault. I will not own that. I felt bad about it. You know, I felt if I hadn't divorced him, things could have turned out differently and, you know, yada, yada, whatever. I didn't own it, but I did feel that way. And so I met my prince, and we got married after a whirlwind romance, and like a month before we got married, we found out he had colon cancer, and he had a tumor the size of his head in his colon. They removed the tumor and left him with a colostomy. And I had a decision to make. Are you going to marry this man? Or are you going to run? Like Forrest Gump. Are you going to run, Tony, run? And I was like, so I decided to take another drastic step and marry a man who had colon cancer. And he was not rich. Was he rich? No. But I decided that he needed me. And so I decided to give him a good end of life. And he passed away November the 1st. And I will say beyond a shadow of doubt, I know that God is pleased with the kind of wife that I was to him. Because it was a huge battle. I gave up my financial career where I was really making good money, and I made a lot of self-sacrifices for good health, and very proud of the wife that I became. I learned that I could be a caregiver and that I could make self-sacrifices for someone else. And so it was a journey.
Wow. It's part of the journey.
On that path again, knowingly, but it taught me and made me a better woman. And now I know, and I know I'll find love again. I know that. And I know that I have the capability to do, to love again. And the other thing is, he taught me what I deserve and what to look for in a man. So there's no less. I won't accept any less than what he showed.
Once you've had the best, you'll never settle for less. And that's exactly my mantra in life. And, Tony, having you on the show is the best. And you truly, truly are a priceless personality. And I've adored sharing you with my listeners. I just wanted to also share that I'm in the middle of a major thunderstorm. So if you hear lightning and thunder in the background, that's Mother Nature listening in on our show. Thank you, Tony. And I look forward to having you back many, many times.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate you and look forward to maybe having you on my show sometime. Oh,
I would love that. I would adore that. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. Hasn't it been fun visiting with Tony? My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amuse, they will amaze, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests like Tony today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop whining and start smiling, and then start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Tony Harris. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.